Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
Hey, if you enjoy fun, a little bit of a good time, you know, a laugh, you got to check out our guy Bert Kreischer live at Red Rocks Amphitheater Wednesday, September 8th, 2021, just around the corner, joined by Mark Norman. It's time to get your tickets, presented by AEG Presents. Love those guys for what they're doing out there. If you know, you know. All you need to do is download the Red Rocks app before you visit, which you should already have done, to be honest. But it's a great app. Makes it really easy to purchase your tickets to your favorite show or concert, whatever's going on. And right now what's going on is Bert Kreischer. You probably know him from Comedy Central and Showtime and his podcasts and appearances and any number of hilarious flicks. You got to check him out at Red Rocks. Grab it. It's the best venue in the world. So if you're going to see somebody super hilarious, might as well do it in an awesome spot. Grab those tickets today. Again, get on the app, the Red Rocks app. Get tickets to Bert Kreischer with Mark Norman, September 8th, the best venue in the world. Again, it's Bert Kreischer and Mark Norman at Red Rocks on September 8th. All ages are welcome. Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast brought to you by Strava Craft Coffee. Remember to use the promo code DNVR25. You'll get 25% off your entire purchase of that CBD-infused, deliciously rich, and potentially life-altering Strava Craft Coffee. I'm your host, Drew Kreisman. I'm the managing editor of DNVR Rockies. With me, as always, is beat writer Patrick Lyons. And on this episode, we continue to discuss the hilarity of the road Colorado Rockies versus the home Chicago Cubs. Game one could not have delivered any more on the promise of a movable object versus the resistible force. It was what's going to give. What matters more? The fact that the Cubs hadn't won at home since the All-Star break, or the fact that the Colorado Rockies have been historic levels of bad on the road so far this season? Looked like it was going to go the Rockies' way for a minute there, Patrick. It looked like all those things we talked about, maybe taking some home momentum with them out on the road, got some early runs. We're up most of the game. And then there goes that bullpen again.
We're recording this nearly 24 hours after that game, and it's still painful to relive and to think about with the blown save, the walk-off home run, Jolie's Chacin, the struggles that he had, and maybe if he would have done things differently in the bullpen, and to think this would have been the perfect way to start the road trip and really just build this momentum. You flush Sunday's stinker at home against Arizona, and you start to get excited, and maybe even you start to tell yourself, wild card? No, I can't be. But you can at least let those voices creep in for fun.
Players can.
Yeah. And they still might. Sure. But now the voices inside all of our heads, if we want to just think about it, or even if they're dirty voices, like, I don't want this team to make the postseason because I've been crapping all over them for all season long. And then that's going to mean that the powers that be are going to think they did a good job. And oh God, like there's voices in all of our heads of how strong they've been playing. And it looked like it was going to be okay on Monday night. And it wasn't.
No, right. It was really all of those things. So let's break it down. Let's do the full autopsy.
Where do we start on the autopsy?
Let's go to the very beginning. Let's begin with the good and the three-run first inning against, as you know, as we previewed that game, we were talking about the difficulty of getting after Hendricks, and that despite how bad this team has been, they've been pretty good behind him. He's been pretty good against the Rockies. They've, you know, everything was lining up for a pitcher's duel there. And really, after that kind of outburst that got started again, once again, with everyone's guy, Connor Joe, you know, it basically was. He shut him down after that three-run first inning, so that they needed to jump out, get those runs, get after him right away. More great energy from Connor Joe. More fantastic stuff out of Charlie Blackmon getting stuff done. And then CJ Cron, who continues to be, as you've dubbed it, the summer of CJ. And that's exactly what it was in inning number one to get the Rockies that lead and kind of let Senzatella settle into, because I've been saying he's maybe going to have to be really perfect for them to win this game. And he didn't have to be perfect for them to win that game.
That's what we thought it was going to come down to. It can Senzatella beat Hendricks, and he did. He absolutely did. Didn't you know? Hendricks went an inning longer, but by the time Senzatella had come out of the game, it was 4-1. It was a 3-1 or was it 4-1? But nevertheless, it was only one for the Cubbies at that point, and you would have thought he would have been able to hold on to get the victory there. In fact, he actually hadn't gotten a win in a decision since June 2nd. It actually been that long. And he's yet to actually win a game on the road. And he pitched great enough to have deserved it. Four strikeouts through two innings, six strikeouts through four. He loads the bases in the sixth and only ends up giving up that one run. Gets a double play, induces the pop-up. Gets a nice grab by Sam Hilliard going into the ivy. That was fantastic to see that. It was lining up exactly as you would have hoped. And even with the bullpen coming out, Chacin does it in the seventh, and you go, this is exactly to plan. So as we said, summer of CJ, Joe goes 2-for-3. He even chipped in an RBI sac fly. Chrome was 3-for-4. Both of those guys double. And seven pitches into the game, they had a 1-0 lead that they would keep for almost the entirety of it.
Those are the most frustrating ones when you've been up for, in real time, like 3 hours. You've been winning the baseball game for, 2.5 to 3 hours.
I can't think of a road game in which they've held the lead that long. Right. Think about that even, right?
Like that felt truly bizarre, right? And then there were a couple of times you thought maybe it was going to come apart. There was a little bit of traffic against Senzatella an inning earlier. It was in the fifth, and it was kind of weak traffic. And then there was another pop-up like behind third base that you thought, oh, man, this is going to fall into no man's land and score a run.
And then what happened?
Ryan McMahon with a sprinting over-the-shoulder basket catch. Come on, dude.
I heard that added one more defensive run save.
That's right.
That was amazing in real time that these statistics get calculated.
Updated. Impressive. In that moment.
I'm beginning to think some television stations have bigger analytic teams than some teams themselves. that play was great. And again, he's starting to make these plays, McMahon, at third base, where he's making them look easy. He's making these hard plays look easy. And I don't know if maybe that's adding to the beauty of them. Like maybe if it looked like he was giving more effort, you're like, hey, that was a really good play. But I think, in a weird way, I wonder if subconsciously we add some style points because he's doing it in style and with no look on his face. And it's just like with general ease. And I think in a way that's, I don't think it's taking away necessarily, but it's just making me think, man, it's easy for him over there. Like how good he's been defensively this year.
Yeah. He's absolutely stupendous. I really do hope he gets enough innings to qualify because it's the only question. He's absolutely been the best defender, not just at third base, probably in baseball this season. So, wow. And then, like you said, Senzatella gives up his one run. It happens. It came on a double play. Anytime the only run you've given up, now he did create that traffic and he kind of walked a couple of guys there. And I think that last one there was more unintentional, intentional, to load the bases to set up the double play with nobody out. Got it. One run comes in. You accept that trade-off, and then he got out of it, like Patrick talked about. Then the Rockies actually answered. What the hell? Is this the road Rockies? They took it right back and immediately got another one, like you said, on the sack fly from Connor Joe. So really, the three-run lead was held intact that they'd again had for 2.5 to 3 hours, right? Got to go to the bullpen, like you said. And you've pointed out all year, you've been all over this element of the story. One inning out of Chacin, good to go. I don't know why Buddy made that decision to try to stretch him for two. When you do have Estevez there.
On a day off, too.
Yeah.
So both Bard and Estevez had had a day off. That was my question that I wanted to ask you. If you had thoughts as to why Chacin got another inning. Now, as far as why didn't anyone get up sooner, the decision was kind of like already made. Like he ended up throwing 12 balls in a row, but Estevez and Kinley were both warming up after the sixth ball. So like they got ready as quickly as they could. So that was kind of already in the works, but have you come to a conclusion as to why maybe he got, and again, we're only talking about it because it didn't go right. Had it gone well, you just said, hey, great. You either saved Estevez or Bard for an inning on the next night.
Right. Which I think is the goal there, right? That's the plan. Going into it, that's got to be the thinking, is that you're trying to preserve them. Bud Black's working with three above average relievers right now. Bard, Chacin, and Estevez. And if you have to use all three of them in game one of a series, that makes your managing it for the next couple of days that much more difficult, because you can't use all three of them all three games of the series. And so he's maybe thinking, yeah, you know, these Cubs have struggled a little bit tonight. They haven't had a whole lot going. Chacin's been so good lately. He has started before. Maybe this will be the time, because I know he's well aware of the stats you've pointed out on this show all year. It's not like Buddy didn't know that Chacin has struggled in multiple inning outings. He was just trying to, just hoping wasn't going to happen this time. Ran a little too fast, a little too far on that one, and it bit him.
Yeah, that was my thought, exactly the same, and that Estevez was going to be the guy closing it out in the ninth, save situation or otherwise. But it in talking about this, it does make me think, you know, do you need either Estevez or Bard on Tuesday for Marquez? Like, are you worried about that? I mean, that would be the last thing. Why can't you use both of those guys on Monday and say, all right, we're going to try to win this. I don't even want to say by hook or by crook, because Marquez could go out there and throw a no-hitter Tuesday night, right? Like, that's not out of the realm of possibilities. And then those guys are back on Wednesday. Or, you know, you dominate against Justin Steele, and you can give, you know, Gilbreth or Stevenson or even Almonte an opportunity in the eighth and or ninth, because you have a big lead, which you're more inclined to do with Herman Marquez. But nevertheless, this is not a game that the historians will be going back and running a fine-tooth comb through.
Why Chacin for two innings? But in hindsight, yeah. And then honestly, and I'll do this very briefly, because this is the way I've decided, you know, moving forward, how it goes. Missed balls and strike calls should be treated like errors. Just, you know, hey, that was missed and that cost him. But that there was a real bad one. Discord and Slack were not. Spencer was not happy.
Blowing up.
Carlos Estevez had strike three on Patrick Wisdom. We all saw it plain as day. It wasn't even borderline. It was right there. And that dramatically changes the inning. If you strike a guy out with the bases loaded, nobody out, especially considering the next guy hit into a double play, you change nothing else about that inning, no runs score. That's brutal in an inning where three runs come around to score. So that's a bad miss. That said, yes, everyone's correct to point out Carlos is still going to make his pitches after that point and all of that. It's baseball and it happens. But the same way, like, if on that 1-2 pitch, Patrick Wisdom had hit a fly ball to shallow left field and Connor Joe had just dropped it, it'd be pretty bizarre to not talk about that, right? An error that brought in a run and kept the inning alive, and a bunch of other stuff happened and it maybe could have been over. Same thing. It'd be weird not to talk about it. That said, still tie ball game at that point. Like, still plenty of opportunity to not maybe lose this thing in egregious fashion. But I think at that point you knew.
What about this, to go back half a step? To go back half a step, the home plate umpire had not called a strike in a while. Like, he forgot what, like,
I'm sure there's
data out there. If you really scour the old webs, you know, ump auditor and umpire scorecards, there's a couple of those resources out there where you could look, and it would just be interesting to think about. And the first pitch that Estevez threw to Wisdom was out of the strike zone. Wisdom was swung at it.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, which was hilarious. Right.
Well, exactly.
First of all, kid, what are you doing? You can't swing at that pitch, because Estevez has had his command issues as well. But yeah, when you get right down to it, it's all about those individual moments. You go, that's a backbreaker of a missed call. Another than that, I actually didn't even look it up, who the name of the home plate umpire was, because he had a fantastic night. That was, you know, for the most part, really wasn't missing calls. But, it, you know, like we talk about, that's why I like comparing it to errors. You can tell me so-and-so is a great defender all you want, but if he messed up that one play and it ended up costing the team the game, you got to kind of talk about it. That was a bad one.
Jeff Nelson was the home plate umpire. But, hey, you got to give him credit, though, in the Ortega of that 3-1 count. Ortega thought it was out of the zone. And that, honestly, that pitch that was high and inside that Nelson called a strike.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Is probably one, you know, we've seen those heat maps for umpires, and we've talked about it before, where, you know, the strike zone, you know, how do you have a three-dimensional square or a cube, I guess, essentially at that point? And really, it's not, because of the triangulation of the back portion of the plate. You can't keep that entirely straight. So it's more, you know, circular. It's more rounded. And I would think most umpires probably call that a ball. But he got it right. He called it a strike, which prolonged the game, which forced Daniel Bard to throw another pitch.
Throw one more strike to, or one more pitch.
Home run. Yeah. Had that been called a ball, I don't know how it would have ended.
Yeah, you never know. That's one of those butterfly effect situations. You never do know. But you can drown your sorrows after the Rafael Ortega walk-off in some Breck Brew. Got my juice drop. I almost called it the other thing, the juicy. Got one of those two, but I got the juice drop hazy IPA going right now. Loving these, loving the seltzies as well, especially during a hot summer day. An afternoon game. Don't drink IPAs during afternoon games unless you got nothing else planned for the rest of the day. Have seltzies during afternoon games. Either way, you can get your 15 can tap pack samplers at King Supers down at your local liquor store. Maybe down at the DNVR bar. Well, we don't have 15-can tap pack. That'd be cool if we just add the tap packs, like, at the bar. Just take one on your way out, Phil. That's probably not allowed, I would assume. But we do have, of course, draft stuff. We got them on draft, and it kind of rotates. We've got most of the standbys that you would know. But, you know, they bring in the sours or sometimes some special stuff there down at the DNVR bar. And you get a much larger beer if you're a member of the family. Do subscribe today at thednvr.com. You'll get access to all the written content, plus discounts on hats and shirts, access to the Discord channel, a free shirt when you get the annual subscription, all kinds of fun stuff. The biggest thing really is, of course, being a member of the family. Right now, I saw a picture the other day, some people that did their DNVR, or their draft, their fantasy football draft down at the DNVR bar. Looked like that was a whole lot of fun. I got to get out to one of these. I just got to, like, I'm not doing the draft or anything. I'm just going to hang out and watch other people do it. That's not creepy, right? It just seems like a fun thing to go and hang out and be a part of. Email gm@thednvrbar.com if you're interested in potentially a couple of free pitchers of beer for hosting your fantasy football draft down at the DNVR bar. And one more of these for you. Got to thank our friends over at the DraftKings Sportsbook. They're absolutely fantastic. They're making sports so much more fun. Whether you're betting overs and unders on who's going to get a certain number of strikeouts or how many runs the teams are going to score, who's going to win the ball game, maybe other sports, those are also fun to bet on. They're coming back, including college football. Know we got a lot of huge college football fans out there. It's coming back. And right now, this might be maybe DraftKings Sportsbook best sign-up promo ever. I think it may be. You got to check them out on this one, because if you download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use promo code DNVR, you will receive $200 in free bets when you place $1 on any week one game. And that's not for your, like, if your team wins or if they score a touchdown or
ties. Or ties.
And just put down $1 and then watch $200 appear in your DraftKings Sportsbook account.
Wow.
Start betting on whatever you want.
Even simple Central Michigan. Even I can bet on Central Michigan University.
You could take Central Michigan over the Dallas Cowboys, and DraftKings Sportsbook is still going to hook you up with $200 in free bets instantly.
Go check
for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
And if betting a dollar and turning into 200 isn't enough, I've got my DraftKings Sportsbook pick of the week. Wednesday night, the Cincinnati Red Stockings, formerly the Cincinnati Redlegs, Luis Castillo, put your money on him. I know Brandon Woodruff has been all-star this year, has been fantastic.
You let me down on my last bet. He killed me.
He did. I got to go against them. And again,
do it.
If you're rooting for storylines and you're rooting against those Padres, you want the Reds to win Wednesday night. Ooh. Luis Castillo has been pitching a lot better the second half, especially going back to his last 15 games, 2.73 ERA, which almost matches his career ERA against Milwaukee at this point. So I love the line on it. It's plus 155. That is
almost
as much of a long shot as you could get for a guy who was recently an all-star pitcher. He's at the top of the rotation for Cincinnati, and you kind of need him to do the thing against Milwaukee on Wednesday night if you want those Padres to eat some crawl. DraftKings Sportsbook pick of the week, Luis Castillo and the Cincinnati Reds against the Milwaukee Brewers on Wednesday night, plus 155.
Love it. Love that. Our Cincinnati Reds. We should adopt them as they run into the – I don't know. We'll let the people decide. We'll put out a vote. And let the audience decide on Twitter or something, or maybe on a YouTube vote. Maybe we'll make it a special YouTube thing. You got to be live on YouTube. Come and hang out with us. Leave comments and vote in that. And we'll
say, I know the Discord's going to be talking about that. Like, do we pick a team for the week? Do we pick one for the final month to own for, or just to keep an eye on? Because again, after October, I mean, it's the postseason, but you know, Rockies fans and the fan bases of, let's do the math. How many postseason teams are there? 19 other teams are totally out, and you have no baseball for a very long time. So you know what? Yeah. Cram it all in. Let's have like a second team. I like this idea. Again, Discord, let us know what you think on that.
Yeah. So it looks like we're going to be –
It looks like the Colorado Rockies – maybe for the first time ever, I'm going to look this up right now, live on record. The Rockies may finally be taking Ernie Banks at his word
and playing
two games at Wrigley Field on Wednesday. Tuesday's game has been postponed.
I love this.
You've seen video. Our guy Kevin Henry over at Rocks Piles has put up a video. It's just absolutely pissing down there. At Wrigley. We can blame John Boy and Jake on that, by the way. They are in Chicago right now, not singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game or throwing out the first pitch or raising the W. They're doing none of those things on Tuesday night.
None of them. And I will say, I wish I could have got on DraftKings and placed a bet on whatever the odds were. If they could have given me, like, who is the Rocky who is most likely to know who Jake and John Boy are?
Oh, that's interesting. I like that.
Okay.
What percentage of guys would know them? Would you think?
I was going to say, so if you haven't, as we're recording this, you haven't seen the video, so you don't know what I'm getting at.
I don't.
Excellent. Fantastic.
You got all the John Boy scoops the last couple of days.
I know. I know, right? Okay. So who, like, yeah, how many of them? Because I would guess, honestly, they're kind of a, like, they're a fun bunch, but they're serious in a way. Like, I would say there's probably 10 to 15 guys on the roster, maybe. And I'd lean closer to 10.
I might put it a bit lower. I thought about 25%.
Yeah.
So if that's 1/4, yeah, that's about six or seven
guys. Yeah.
That's where I would have it, about 25%.
A lot of the relievers I don't know very well. I haven't gotten to know them as much, the pandemic, and we're still kind of getting back out there and doing all that stuff. But so who would you think then? I'll put this on your plate. If you had to say, give me, if it's six to seven, give me four or five guys you would go. Or one or two. Give me one or two. who are your top? Just who would, like, because that, I think, I feel like
it's right, if we're doing a draft, Charlie Blackman is the first person I would have on the list. He would be number 26. He has no idea who they are, and that's fine.
None.
I don't know that he would know who the pitching ninja is even. Now, I think there's more people that would know the pitching ninja.
Oh, yeah.
Than John Boy and Jake, right? That's,
I think there are more ball players who would know the pitching ninja, yeah.
Right.
I think most of the pitchers would.
And I think less would know Domingo Ayala. But then if they saw him, they would go, oh, actually, no, I do. They more would know who Domingo Ayala is. But on name recognition alone, they wouldn't. Who would I have to take on that? That's really interesting. I think maybe Ryan McMahon might know.
I think he would know. Actually,
he's a little more on the social media, right? He's a little more involved in that. Not a heavy duty, but enough that he's gonna see it. I got a second one too. Who's next off the board for you?
I'll tell you one who I'm pretty sure knows.
Ooh.
But was not in the video, so I'm not giving it away, and we're narrowing it down a little bit here. But John Gray, I think, is another one of those guys who gets into that kind of stuff, has some fun with those things. I bet he's chuckled at a few. I can see John in the hotel room on a day he's not pitching, watching John Boy videos on his phone, chuckling away at him.
I would next select Kyle Freeland again. Big presence on social media.
He might
not be following John Boy, but perhaps his significant other would, and they share the videos.
Yep.
So I'm going with him. And I got a third pick too, but I'll let you go. And I'm going to cheat because this person's not on the roster.
Oh, okay. Let me see. Who else would be another one? I would say, I'll think kind of a weird one, but I bet Garrett Hampson's into it.
Ooh, okay.
I bet Garrett Hampson finds the whole thing quite entertaining.
I could see that. I could see that. I could also
see him being like, I have no idea who you're talking about.
Yeah. Like, I'm kind of doing something pretty important.
Yeah, I'm really
at the moment. I'm going to go ahead and pass. Final pick. Because of all the blitz ball videos that they do, and with the back alley, and they got their little wiffle ball strike zone in the back, I'm thinking Josh Fuentes has watched some of the John Boy videos and the wiffle ball games. I'm going to take that as my third pick. That's a walk-off right there. What do you think?
Has to. That has to be correct. I'd be disappointed if he didn't. Right? Like, it feels so up his alley. And his cousin? No way. Not a chance.
Not a chance.
But the answer to the question, the one I was like, oh, that makes perfect sense. And we have a hard time thinking of them because we don't often think of Colorado Rockies relievers. But Daniel Bard approached our friendos
over
at Talkin' Baseball and remarked that they're both shorter than they look on YouTube.
That's awesome. Oh, yep. I'm seeing the video now. It comes over, gives them a fist bump as they're walking around on the dirt.
I like that he approached them.
It up.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got the jerseys on and everything. Took care of them real nice.
Isn't that great?
That. Yeah, that's cool. As it turns out, the doubleheader on Wednesday will actually be the third time the Rockies play two in Chicago. The first time, 4th of July, 1994.
Yeah.
They lost the first. They won the second in extras. And the second time was traditional doubleheader in also July 1997. They lost both. So I know Rockies fans have long been talking about taking a doubleheader from the Cubs to even the series at 3-3 in doubleheader.
Every day they think about it.
Every day I walk into the DNVR bar, they're talking about it.
It's all they think about.
It's strange that you guys sometimes, you know, these facts, these strange, obscure things better than we do. But
incredible.
There you go. Looking to win their sweep their first doubleheader against the Cubbies on Wednesday. Got to think we're just going to have the same starting pitchers. You got like Marquez to win his game.
Yeah.
And then it'll be down to that third matchup. There's not a lot of numbers as far as it pertains to Justin Steele. Nobody's faced him yet.
Yeah.
Jason Hayward has these 3-for-8 against Marquez, all singles, never more than one in a game. David Bode has 2 homers in 6 at-bats. He's 3-for-6. Otherwise, it's pretty fresh looks for all of them. But I'm kind of looking for Marquez to increase his strikeout to walk ratio. He's almost at 3-to-1. He's at 151 strikeouts to 52 walks. So this is one of those little, not a storyline, but one of those interesting little angles to look at. So Marquez already has 5 of the top 9 strikeout to walk rates in Rockies history, including the top two.
Right.
And so he's close to 3-to-1, right? He's close to 3.00. Again, if he can, you know, strike out 7 on Wednesday and walk 1 or limit that to 0, again, he's going to start creeping up the leaderboard just a little bit and maybe sneak into 4th. Jason Hamels in 2009 is at 3.167 strikeouts to walk. So one of those little stories within a story. You're obviously watching to see if he's going to throw a no-hitter, which is very possible.
Always possible when he faces a...
But you can also keep your eye on... The strikeouts, which again,
you got to
like the odds of that against this Cubs lineup.
Yeah, I'm liking all of that. I'll tell you something else I'm thinking about with regards to this doubleheader in the future. But also, while I'm thinking about the future, I'm thinking about our friends at Chevalier Mortgage. They want to help you through what can be a very stressful time trying to work through the housing market. Trust me, I know as well as anybody, it is absolutely wild here in Colorado. Mike and Virginia can help take that burden right off your shoulders, take it onto their own, talk to you about the market, talk to you about sports, talk to you about DNVR Bar, talk to you about DNVR Bar too, DNVR Sports, whatever we're doing here. I'm sure they've come down to the bar at this point. In fact, I'm pretty sure they have. They're huge supporters of ours. We are huge supporters of theirs, and you should be too, not just because they're, again, big supporters of ours, but for your own benefit. First of all, if you head over to dnvrmortgage.com, you can enter to win a free DNVR shirt or hat. But more importantly than that, you get set up with a free consultation to discuss all of your options at dnvrmortgage.com. They're really fantastic. They'll help you out. Call Virginia directly at 303-257-6578 or Mike at 970-412-2472. Michael Chevalier, NMLS number 1931006, and Virginia Chevalier, NMLS number 1910631.
That consultation is key because you might be surprised to learn that just because most people buy in the springtime doesn't mean you can't buy a home at a different time of the year. There's less competition. Anyone that has a kid knows, hey, you gotta take care of those things in March, April, May, so that you're ready for the beginning of the next school year. Well, guess what? All of those people are now settled in until next spring. So you kind of have an open shot at the net there. And if you contact them at Chevalier Mortgage, dnvrmortgage.com, you might gain a major advantage there with that open net situation.
Absolutely right. If you need a place in Boulder, call me. But speaking of the future that I am thinking about there, Patrick, and I hadn't had this thought until just now, might this be the last seven inning doubleheader that we see for some time? Obviously, plenty of time left in the year. You're not expecting too many more games in August and September to get rained out, but you never know. There could be some September weather in back in Denver at times, but they don't have another one already scheduled, right? I'm pretty sure they've taken care of their past. And so this could be, and I wrote about some rule stuff today, by the way. So subscribers to the dnvr.com, go and read my most updated position on the shift. But one of the things that I talked about in there was Rob Manfred talking about the possibility that the California rule and the seven inning doubleheaders might go away before next season. Of course, it's all going to be in the CBA. So everyone's just like crafting, like charting their ground right now, right? And it all remains to be seen. But if it does go away, this could be the last one we see the Rockies play for some time.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think as far as bargaining chips go, I'm sure MLB wants the Players Association to view, you know, the California rule runner on second base and the seven inning doubleheaders as a benefit to the players, because it is.
It is.
But it's also clearly a benefit to the owners, who now may have less millions of dollars sitting on a trainer's table somewhere. So both parties benefit from that, I think, greatly. Yeah. And you know, the cost of, you know, running a ballpark is very expensive, and keeping people sticking around and having to pay them overtime, things of that nature, that can add up. So you know what, it could be a little more cost effectiveness, but yeah, this could be the last one. Drew, you brought it up, the can of worms.
Uh-oh.
Marquez might go mad bum on Wednesday.
Now it counts. Before it didn't count.
Think about that.
No, that would be amazing. I mean, it's very much on the table. Because Herman Marquez has got like 4 7 inning no hitters in his career. Like,
basically, yeah, if you're a Rockies fan and you're just like, look, I need more opportunities for no hitters, and I can't get them if they're seven innings, so therefore, dear Tony Clark, get rid of it. Oh, well, you didn't make that happen. You just set the wheels in motion for us to realize that Marquez, you know, might throw a mad bum, which is not a no hitter yet. I think that will change. Honestly, I think that's something that will change. But right now, it won't be, which means you won't be able to celebrate it. It's like, you know, 1988, Jose Canseco is the MVP. He comes out and talks about all the, you know, drugs he used. And you go, oh, poor Mike Greenwell. You were second in the MVP race, but guess what? You can't really celebrate that now. It would have been nice to have that in the moment, but it could happen.
With a new Breck Brew, Strava Craft Coffee, and Solace Meds, you can celebrate just about anything.
This could be the last one.
I wish we could bet that on DraftKings as well. Because again, it would have to be long odds, right? Betting on someone to throw a no-hitter.
Well, they go to LA. I thought you were talking about betting on the rainout. They go to LA, then Texas, which has a retractable roof, so that won't happen there.
No.
We got then the final long road trip. They finish up in Arizona, but the final long road trip is 4 games in Philly. Should be all right. 3 in Atlanta, 3 in Washington. Again, that's all by September 19th. So
yeah.
I'm thinking this is it. I'm thinking this is going to be the last one.
And I've come around on them. And if I had to pick both or neither, I'd say both. I don't love the California rule. I've not come around on that. There are times I've thought this isn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. And I think that's still true. I thought it was going to be a bit more chaos than it has been. I still just don't love the California rule, though. But I really came around on the 7-inning doubleheader. And I think I'd rather keep both than get rid of both, honestly, because of what you talked about, Nick, keeping players healthy and what we lose in the grand scheme of things. And this is always an important part to think of it too. Like, what if you were building the system? That's kind of what I did with my shift article, right? What if you were just building it today? You were just setting the rules out today. What is the harm of the California rule? I think there's potentially some harm there. What is the harm of the 7-inning doubleheader? I don't know that they're
missing no hitter or perfect game.
Some of the stats get thrown off a little bit. That's the only thing that happens. And it's so minuscule, it doesn't matter.
You have statistics. Yeah, you have statistics or a potential great performance skewed or ruined.
Yeah.
Rather than a player's career.
Right.
And that's someone's life. Like, yeah, that's a lot more important. So I'm looking forward to reading that because I think you published that right before we went on air. So I didn't get a chance.
Right.
I'm very excited to read your thoughts. Yeah, on the shift.
Full 180 on the shift. Ban the shift. Ban it right outright.
Isn't that ironic to go Alanis Morissette? You know, when you change or shift your thinking on the shift. It's
shifting on the shift.
It's like Ray Yane on a summer's day.
I wish.
Doubleheader on just Wednesday.
One of the things that she listed in that song was an example of irony. I wish just one of them. Just like, come on. All right. So we already.
Well, I'll tell you this too, because people should be able to listen to this probably before the first or second game.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to change the order up, but Gomber and Davies was going to be Wednesday's game. We'll see if it's the second game. Nevertheless, Elias Diaz, who was starting on Tuesday night, which means he wouldn't have played in the day game on Wednesday, has great numbers against Davies, but wouldn't have started under normal circumstances. Now we could actually see something happen with that. Diaz is 5-for-14, including a homer this season against him. Hilliard, he's only 2-for-5, but does have a homer and a double. Story, 4-for-16, pretty good. It's a 250 batting average with a homer and a double. Charlie Blackman, though, has been pretty bad against Davies, 3-for-20, all singles, but he only struck out 5 times, so he's going to put the ball in play. And then McMahon also, not so great, 1-for-8, but his last at-bat in Colorado a couple weeks ago, he was able to come through with that lone hit. He did have a double against Davies. So those are some of the names on DraftKings Sportsbook. If you're looking for a hit, 2 hits, strikeout numbers, those are some of the things to keep in mind for Wednesday's doubleheader.
Yeah, all good stuff. And I like both Marquez and Gomber to maximize their efforts over 7 innings. Those are both guys who pace themselves for, you know, the long haul and really plan out games, game plan, as it's called. and you know, and it's not that you have to not game plan when there's fewer innings, but you can let things go a little bit extra, a little more, and go all out earlier in games. And I think that'll be beneficial to both of those guys, actually. So I like, again, without seeing them yet, I like whatever overs, you know, on strikeouts and all that stuff for both of those guys.
It's wild to think how badly they lost on Monday night. And you go, they could win this series.
Yeah.
They could win both ends of a doubleheader. It's not crazy. And that's been one of the most entertaining things about this team. It keeps you guessing and go, there's no way it could be this. So I'm going to go the opposite way. Oh, no, they did. All right. Last thing to throw this out. Now, on this day, 70 years ago, the St. Louis Browns held Fans Managers Night. They gave out like 1,000 placards with yes on one side, no on the other to decide what should happen in the game. This is what they did with Bill Veeck. This is like a minor league promotion almost.
This is like a horror show. There are episodes of Star Trek, and there's a really good one. There was now I'm forgetting his name. Seth MacFarlane, who does, you know, like Family Guy and all that stuff. The show called Orville for a little while. I don't know if people, it was actually really, I thought, nice tribute to like Star Trek and these types of shows. And there's a particular really great episode of that where, and again, it's built on previous Star Trek philosophy and philosophical writings about societies that are built entirely around up-down votes. And like, so laws are like whether or not someone's guilty of a crime or whether or not someone gets executed or goes free. It all comes down to this up-down vote, the popular vote. And it's such a mind twist to get your brain around. And it's so creepy in so many ways. And this is only slightly less creepy because it's just managing a baseball team, but it's weird.
there was maybe over a decade ago, I think it was like the Schaumburg Flyers, who they're in an independent ball team. I caught wind of this where they, yeah, I don't know if you had to buy into it or what, but you could go online and you set the lineup. They did everything. Again, it's an independent team, so you have nothing to lose. But hey, if you think you know everything about baseball, make the lineup and see what happens. Well, on this day in 1951, the Browns actually won 5-3. Go figure. So, Drew, if you were the manager of the day for the Rockies, if you were the manager and not the owner or the GM,
sure, just
the manager for the day, what change or changes would you institute? And again, when you're the manager for anyone expecting something huge, you're managing a single game, so you can only do so many things to get crazy. But at least for this team, if you've got something in general that you want to do, or if you're just thinking about this team in particular, what would you do?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I had really strong feelings about the lineup back when the team was competitive, you know, in 17 and 18. And it's harder to be like, they got to put so-and-so in the leadoff spot. I've been happy with Tapia, obviously, all year as a leadoff guy. Joe has been great in his absence, stuff like that. So I don't know if there's anything really to screw around with the lineup. Maybe for like, just for fun, I'd bat like Elias Diaz second. Just like, you know, just because I want more at bats out of him, and I want to keep challenging him to be fantastic. Maybe even just reward him for how awesome he's been. Just bat Elias Diaz second or third or whatever. Like, put him in a true power run producing spot. Every time I look at his numbers over the last couple of weeks or months, great batting average, great on base, great slugging, nice size home runs. The RBI total is kind of meh because he's hitting down in the 7-8 spot. Not a lot of guys in front of him. I'm like, I wonder what he could do like in a real run producing spot. So I like that. One thing I would say, I want the whole outfield to, if we're playing at Coors, the whole outfield needs to move in. If the ball gets hit over your head, that's the pitcher's damn fault. Don't give up hard contact. But they give up too many hits on balls that are mishit that fall in front of them. And I understand them trying to take away extra base hits from people. They play deep as a philosophy under Bud Black. It's one of the very few things that philosophically I've disagreed with him on. I understand it. I think his logic makes perfect sense. They're playing deep to take away extra base hits when guys hit the ball hard, and they can track them down a little bit better when they play deep. But what I have seen over the last couple of years is just too many baseballs that are mishit that should be outs that end up going as hits. And I can accept a guy getting a hit if he hit the ball 100 miles an hour and into the gap. That's on the pitcher. I can take that. You live with that. It's so much harder for me to live with the guy who pops one up to shallow left and Tapia can't get there because he's just got way too much ground to cover. So that's probably the biggest philosophical change I would legitimately make to how the team is run if I was manager for a day. That wouldn't do much, but still.
Yeah, I would want to maybe have a little bit of fun with the lineup, you know, and do some weird things. Like you said, Elias Diaz batting second or third. That truly may have never happened in Rockies history before. Right. So that would be fun. I also think, hey, let me give the reins. Like, oh, thank you. I'm the manager. Well, guess what? I'm now going to turn around and give that manager spot to Charlie Blackman and say, Charlie, what do you want to do today? Let's have some fun.
Now that's good.
Right? What would you do for that? But I think because If I was manager for the day, I'd be in some elite company because the Rockies have only had three interim managers in their history, or guy who is the manager for the day because the manager either was suspended or sick. And we know Mike Redmond.
I was going to say,
I'm not sure how many games he's up to now, but he has the record, I think, because he's up to at least six, like from this year. And I don't have that exact number, but second
last year,
with four is Tom Runnels.
Oh, sure. Okay.
And third and last is Toby Hara. Twice was the manager. This might have been back in Don Baylor's day. So I would be on that elite list, and I would want to go.
There you go.
1-0. So I would start a closer in the first inning. That would be my only.
I like that.
Real change. I could tinker with the lineup maybe a little bit. You know, bat story second, but I think the biggest change would be like, all right, if I got to win this game. Again, to really feel good about hanging out with Toby Hara, Tom Runnels, and Mike Redmond, I'm just going to start someone out there for the first inning. Maybe Almonte, maybe Kenley. But that would be my manager for the day decision. That's it.
I enjoy that. All right. Well, it was good stuff, especially considering we're not exactly sure of the state of these next two games. But it does look like doubleheader. We'll be joining you for that. Hang out with us. For all of that, make sure you're subscribed to the DNVR.com so you get all the written content, all the stuff I said before, the discounts, the access to the Discord channel, the free shirt if you're doing the annual. Make sure you're following everyone on social media at Patrick D. Lyons, at Drew Kreisman, at DNVR_Rockies, and otherwise that you're just continuing to be absolutely fantastic baseball fans out there. We promise to continue being absolutely Patrick Lyons and Drew Kreisman in here. And until next time, we will see you at the ballpark. As always, we hope that show put a smile on your face. And you know, our smiles are brought to you by our friends over at Green Mountain Dental Group, the best damn family dentist anywhere in the Denver metro area. If you need some work done, maybe you even need more intense work done, you know, they're going to need to recommend you to, you know, dental specialists. They're the best. They've got all the best connections, including DNVR. They've been one of our longest supporters. We've been one of their biggest supporters, and so should you be. They're absolutely fantastic. They'll treat you like family. They'll talk to you about sports, and they will do world-class dentist work for you and your family. Located just 15 minutes outside of downtown Denver over there in Lakewood, they will hook you up with a free Sonicare toothbrush when you schedule your cleaning, x-ray, and exam today. Don't hesitate. I know going to the dentist isn't always the most fun thing in the world, but they make it as pleasant an experience as it can possibly be. They really do treat you well, and it's super important to take care of your dental health. So check out our friends at Green Mountain Dental Group.